Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Everybody's got a thing, but some don't know how to handle it. Always reaching out in vain, just taking the things not worth having. But don't you worry about a thing. Don't you worry about a thing, mama. 'Cause I'll be standing on the side when you check it out.
Yes, give it to me.
When you get off your drift.
Oh, y'all know how I feel about Sir Stevelin. Praise the Lord, niggas.
Praise the Lord.
How are you, sis?
I'm doing all right.
I know you have a challenging several weeks ahead of you.
You know, work is work, and I'm just trying to get through it one thing at a time. I'm doing okay, though. How are you?
I'm good. Same thing. Just trying to power through all of the to-do lists. You know what I'm saying? And it seems like every time I go to bed, it feels like I did not power through that to-do list. But I know that I am. So,
for sure.
You know, like you said, I just got to take it one step at a time, 1 minute at a time.
That's all we can do.
But we're going to take a few minutes of time to talk to you all at this kitchen table. We have a beautiful kitchen table talk for you all with a special guest and a little bit of trash to get into. So shall we mosey there, sis, and power through this as well?
Let's do it.
All right.
A clean up woman.
Okay. Basura time. Calor. So, in honor of our good sis Kia, I think they did this just for you. No, they did not. But A Different World is coming to Zoom, I think.
I saw it's that. Coming. I think it's happening tomorrow night.
Yes. Directed by and produced by our auntie Debbie Allen.
Oh, my gosh.
And Yara Shahidi, little sister.
Come on, little Yara. So okay. Are they going to like do like an episode? Like, what is this? I don't get it. Is it going to be like girlfriends? Are they going to like read? It's going to be like a,
is this going to be like a rerun?
Is this new content?
I think, and I could totally be wrong, but because I'm, you know, it seems like people are trying to figure out how to navigate in the COVID world. And so sometimes we're not going to fully understand until we see it. But what it looks like they're doing is maybe doing a table read of the last episode. Because Key News in here.
Oh, Lord.
I know, child. You know how we felt about Key
News. Oh, Lord.
Tessa Thompson is playing Key News, if I read that properly.
Really?
So they're doing like a table. Little Yachty's in it. Like, it's a very
festive time.
So, and Yara Shahidi is hosting. So, you know, if Auntie Debbie has her hands in it, and Yara has her good, sensible, young hands in it, then I'm gonna endorse it and support it.
Yeah.
And
I'm excited about this.
Yeah.
I have to remember what time it comes on.
We gonna find out, but we're gonna watch it. Let's all watch it and we'll come back and talk about it.
We'll report back.
We'll report back
on how this all goes.
So we have some good news. Google. What'd you say, sis?
Oh, I said, great. We need lots of good news.
We do need as much good news as we possibly can. Google is launching a digital training initiative to help HBU students skill sets.
HBCU?
Yeah. What did I say?
HBU.
HBCU. Y'all, if we let me tell y'all how Kia and I are extra tired tonight.
It's okay. It's okay. We're here to hold each other up.
We are. Be my pillar. So they've launched this new initiative that will train 20,000 HBCU students in digital skills to help prepare them for the workforce. I think this is launching across several HBCUs. Again, this is supposed to help 20,000 students through a $1 million investment in the Thurgood Marshall College Fund, the nation's largest organization exclusively representing the Black college community. So Grow with Google will provide digital skill workshops in the career centers of 20 HBCUs, reaching 20,000 students over the next school year. And the program will be available to all HBCUs by fall of 2021. So I think that's pretty dope. We love to see where, you know, our Black students and our Black youth are supported, especially in the world that we live in. And Black leadership, we got a cameo from Uncle Barry, Barack Obama. And he said, "Hello, niggas. I am no longer president, so I'm going to lightly let this chopper spray."
Go ahead, Uncle Barry.
Uncle Barry. And he got up there. He was like, I set this nigga up. I set up warehouses. I had playbooks. I had step-by-step, play-by-plays. They squandered these funds. They took these funds. They smashed my shit. And now look what's happening. Mm-hmm. Is that who y'all want in leadership? He went on a whole to do. Did you watch it?
I did. Mm-hmm. I have been like getting my life to people reposting clips of it on social media.
Oh, the remixes
for the
and
last
things.
Few days. Yes. I mean, I don't even think you said he lightly let the chopper spray. I think he came with an agenda. And points
were
made.
He would have said fuck, then it would have just been letting the chopper spray. Since
points
he didn't let
were
none of
made.
Those
see,
points
well, you know, he's got to
made.
Still, you know, I mean, in his own way, he just yes. he did let off and let have, honey.
He
so
did.
We were here.
He even had the nigga stance. He even had the nigga.
He was making these like.
He said they would have called me Beijing Barry.
Mm-hmm. absolutely it was a moment a moment we will treasure a moment that we deserve as a people, not even just Black people, but rational thinking, critically thinking people who know how to who understand logic and reason. These things are not common in our current society, but we are yet praying and yet holding on.
We are. We are like very tightly. Very, very tightly. And we have to hold on because the world is a dumpster fire, as we will talk about in our kitchen table, but also in this very last trash story. So I don't know if you saw the footage of Offset. No, this is not about their marriage because we will not be discussing that anymore ever again. I'm tired and I don't have time to go back and forth.
I mean, this is what I expect from, you know, people who are 25.
That's it. And also, everybody got a homegirl who talks about leaving her nigga every other day. And you just be like, all right, Maya.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even feel no way about it. Like, okay, no. This is what we do. I've done it. We've all done it.
We have all done it. I did it for 9 years. But Offset got pulled over. Apparently he had some fans following his car. They recognized him. They followed his car. Police pulled him over and claimed that there were reports of them waving guns out the window. But ultimately they pulled him over for the attention that they saw with the cars that were following them. So, you know, he was on live, on Instagram Live, while all this happened. And I'm glad so that people could see what's going on. And I think there was a misunderstanding, you know, everybody's like, oh, okay, well, you know, these people don't know who you are talking about. Do you know who I am? I think he was referencing it to all these people are not following me for no reason. Like, I actually have a platform. This is what I do. This is who I am. And these people are following me for that reason. It's not any funny business going on. What I did not like that I saw in that video was one of the main officers he was talking to had a Blue Lives Matter flag mask with the skull, the one that has the skull behind it, and also had blue tape over his badge number. And it's very clear in the video, both of those things. And so it just continues to show us how these people can be out here, they're empowered to be out here representing these ideologies and so forth boldly, boldly. And nobody's allowed to, we just have to deal with it. And they're allowed to do whatever they want. They reached in his car, they unlocked his doors, they pulled him out, they arrested him. Apparently he was detained and then released. And I believe it was Cardi's cousin or uncle or somebody who might have been arrested on a gun charge. I don't know if that sticks. I don't trust anything that they say. But it was just, it's just really, it was really disgusting to see. I'm like, really? You don't give a fuck. Like, they don't give a fuck. And they don't give a fuck because they're empowered to not give a fuck.
Agreed.
And that is, that's the really sick, sad thing about it. And that is our trash this week. I think it's time to wrap that right one up.
My sister's popping right now.
Oh, hello, hello. Let's shout out a sister. And actually, we're not going to shout out a sister today. We're going to shout out my cousin. My mother actually was able to reconnect with a cousin through Ancestry.com. A cousin that she knew as a child. And then they lost touch at around like 10 and got back in touch. And I thought it was such a beautiful thing. And since they have, we've come to find out that my cousin sells CMOS.
All right.
And I know you niggas love CMOS, so I am, you niggas is me. CMOS is amazing. It's got so many health benefits, so wonderful for your immunity, eczema, psoriasis, so many things. And so my cousin actually sells CMOS through a Chemist Blends. You can find that on Instagram, A-K-E-M-I-S Blends, B-L-E-N-D-S. There are CMOS gel available, and then there's a free original topical gel, 8 ounces, with the purchase of $40 or more. You just use promo code TOPICALGEL20. And like I said, CMOS gels are great for eczema and for psoriasis and just for your immunity in general. So I will be sure to post all of that information in the description box. But this week we wanted to shout out a Chemist Blends. So if you are looking for CMOS, go ahead and hit that up. Make sure you check out that description box and we'll have the information posted there.
Faux show.
And now we have a beautiful kitchen table talk to get to. So I think we shall head that way. Self-care and routine are always important. Whatever you're using to get ready for the day should make you feel amazing. Meet Billy. They've recreated everyday essentials by delivering premium razors and high-performing body care directly to you. No pink tax, no visit to the drugstore, no breaking the bank. Go to MyBilly.com and get their starter kit for just $9. That includes their award-winning razor, 2 refill blades, and a magnetic holder that keeps your razor safe and dry in between uses. And Billy is out to change more than just the way you shave. They just released 3 completely clean must-have products to add to your routine. Lip balm, dry shampoo, and face wipes. Stock up. Let me tell you all how I love Billy. My razor stands in my shower. It does not touch the water because I put it wherever I want. And it actually sits on the magnetic holder. I thought it was going to be shifting all around and falling all off. But it stays. As soon as you clip it right back up there, it's like, doop, we on there. Magic. And I love the My Billy shaving cream. I recently went quite some time without shaving my legs, to be perfectly honest, because y'all know quarantine. And I was out here looking like the woolly mammoth, but I used my Billy cream and my legs were feeling luxurious on my brand new sheets. You all know that is like luxury at its supreme. Go to MyBilly.com to meet the razor that made everyone start talking about razors. They're an Allure Best of Beauty winner and on Nylon's beauty hit list for a reason. And to express a little love for our show, go to MyBilly.com/grown. It's a small way you can support us while getting the best razor you will ever own. It's just $9 to get your starter kit plus free shipping always. Go to MyBilly.com/grown, spelled MyBillie.com/grown. Welcome back to the Kitchen Table Talk segment. And we have a very special guest, very, very, very special guest, my beautiful fairy, Mary Akpa. Say hi, Mary.
Hi, y'all. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Of course. We're so happy to have you. So let me break Mary down. We actually shouted Mary out a couple weeks back for her single, Black Body.
Oh, yeah.
So Mary is a musician and a singer, and also the co-founder of Niger Girl Tribe, which we will talk about a little bit towards the end of the Kitchen Table Talk segment. But you'll get enough of my voice. I'm going to be very, very quick. I just wanted to introduce Mary before we get into it. So we wanted to bring Mary on to talk about SARS, which is the Special Anti-Robbery Squad in Nigeria. If you have been paying attention a little bit to social media, you've seen a lot of what's going on over in Nigeria with the protests and, you know, just the really, really awful behavior by these people who are supposed to be police, something that we're not unfamiliar with here in the States as well, which is why I thought it would be really important to talk about. So with all that being said, Mary, I want to pass it to you. We just want to ask you a couple questions, and you can talk to us about those connections that you have over there and some of the information you've learned and so forth. So you want to talk a little bit about yourself first?
Oh, that's the weird part. Yeah,
I know.
well, yeah, I am Nigerian, born in Nigeria. But my experience is really the Black American experience. I was raised here in the U.S. And so I have, over the last few years, mostly my adult life, kind of found a way to try and marry those two cultures, marry the identity of being very, very rooted in my Nigerian-ness, but also very connected to the Black American experience. And when I talk about myself, I think that's super important because it does inform a lot of what I do. That's the place that I write music from. It's the thing that inspired the organization Niger Girl Tribe that you mentioned, which focuses on empowering young girls in Nigeria. And as part of that, when you talk about SARS, really, you know, I have to say the hashtag #EndSARS started circulating I think about last week, maybe 2 weeks ago. And so people are asking, what is SARS? SARS, you can think of it as sort of the, like a militarized police force in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. And they're set up essentially to enforce the law. That was the original purpose. But as is the case in many sort of developing countries, many of the people that join these forces are impoverished. They're not paid very well. And what happens is it turns into this thing of sort of survival, and violence and corruption just kind of breeds in these mm-hmm. systems, right? And then there's also the challenge of just the infrastructure in Nigeria and the Nigerian government. Mm-hmm. That's a whole nother topic. So SARS has over the years become this almost like terrorist militarized police regime, where even myself, where I don't live in Nigeria, and I like to clarify that, though I have an organization that works in Nigeria and I have family in Nigeria and I'm in touch with lots of organizers in Nigeria, I still live here in the US. So I do have that separation, mm-hmm. but I have my personal experience with SARS, and it is this sort of fear. Mm-hmm. If you're mm-hmm. a woman and you encounter SARS late at night, or if you're someone who maybe whose sexual orientation isn't accepted in society, there are all of these extra added fears that you have when you engage with SARS. It's just really unfair. And so I think that this time of uprising here, even in the U.S. with the Black Lives Matter movement and just really kind of protesting police brutality, sparked something. I think it sparked something worldwide. There was an incident that happened in Lagos a few weeks ago where a SARS officer murdered a trans woman, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, like a few other incidents happened, and this protest mm-hmm. just sort of sparked. Mm-hmm. And so what we know right now is the protest is essentially sort of spearheaded by Nigerian youth.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think even here, if you think about the protests and the Black Lives Matter movement, it's really the youth that are saying, hey, these are the same challenges that our parents and grandparents have been facing. Like, why are we still right. accepting this? And I think
have you seen the numbers in voting, early voting?
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yes. And I feel like, you know, earlier on in the pandemic, sorry, I'm kind of going around in circles. Earlier on in the pandemic, I felt a helplessness, I think, a hopelessness, that heaviness that I think we as Black people carry of just like that tired, that exhaustion. It's like, when is this going to be over? But there's something that's happening now. And I say this carefully because even with the protests, the End SARS movement in Nigeria and the Black Lives Matter movement, I don't want to paint it in this positive light, right? Because there is so much heaviness around it. But right now, I think that there's a collective line that's being drawn in the sand,
absolutely,
right? And that line is saying, we're not going to take this anymore, period. And that's happening here. That's happening globally. And that right there is inspiring. That's inspiring because when there's a collective line that's drawn, that means we're not accepting this anymore. We don't know what's going to happen, but we ain't dealing with that. And so I'm very inspired because, you know, my experience as a Nigerian has been going home and feeling like being very aware of the disparities and feeling like when you're oppressed, and especially when there's a power structure at play, after a while, you sort of accept what is as just, this is just the way it is, right? And, you know, you can be resilient, you can be a fighter, but you kind of, it's not a complacency, that's not the right word, it's sort of an acceptance. And I think that what's happened right now is Nigerians, especially Nigerian youth, for the first time are like, wait, so we don't actually have to accept this. We can fight, and we're going to, and this is what we're demanding. And so for about 2 weeks, you saw a lot of protesting. On the 20th of October was a pretty violent day, where there was a massacre in Lekki at the toll gate in Lekki, where the government officials ordered a essentially a massacre of protesters, of peaceful protesters in Lagos. And that has now moved into, yes, a heightened sense of protest. And I'm saying this because I'm piecing together information from all of my friends on the ground, organizers on the ground. And so this is, this is a very new movement in Nigeria. I want to say that because there aren't as many community groups and activist groups as there are here in the U.S. So this is sort of, not that there aren't activists, don't get me wrong, but groups that are really organized, they aren't as many. And right now in Nigeria, you have these little pockets of activists that are trying to like make something happen. And after that massacre, what folks had realized was, okay, we need to be strategic. How do we come together? How do we bring all of these different pods of people that are saying no more, no more, no more, no more, who are protesting? What are our demands? How exactly do we want to go about this? How do we become strategic so we're not just putting ourselves in danger, essentially, protesting and setting ourselves up to be massacred? And so this past few days in Nigeria has been about that, about how do communities come to, community groups come together and create sort of not one group, but have one agenda and one strategy. So that's where we are right now with SARS, with the End SARS protest in Nigeria. I will say that it would be best to follow the hashtag. I will also be leaving as much information and resources as I can. I'll be sharing them on my socials. There's also an Instagram handle that's formed by a group of activists in Nigeria called feminist.co. That's their hashtag. I mean, that's their handle on Instagram. That's a great place for resources. Another Nigerian activist, her name is Yagazi. She is a photojournalist. A lot of people are familiar with her, I'm sure. She's a really good resource for just kind of staying in the know with what's going on. And then I can give you, if you'd like, just a list of folks to who are on the ground in Nigeria for folks that want to stay in touch with what's going on.
Absolutely. And we're going to put all of those in the description box for those who want to keep themselves informed. I'm glad that you're actually, this was a good transition. So it's, you know, we're very, very lucky to have these hashtags in social media right now to kind of understand what's going on over, which is why I kind of wanted to bring you on. And I'm glad that you also mentioned I'm not there. And so I'm piecing together information. That's a problem. Can you, why do you think there is so little exposure in journalism to what's going on right now over in Nigeria with SARS?
Wow, that is such a loaded question. There's a lot I can say about that, but I think that we know that the way that we digest media and information is completely different than it was in the past, right? So there are motives behind how media is reported and what we hear, what we know, what we receive. There are also motives behind the messages that are shared. So the messages can be skewed. We know that. I think I was watching something and have been reading a lot about just fake news. And we know now that fake news circulates faster now than real news. So I think there's that. The problem is, I'm just going to call a spade, right? Right now, the Nigerian government is still very much in cahoots with the British. I mean, let's... So there are a lot of agendas and a lot of motives that are at play that are not, you know, for the benefit of Nigerian people. Let's put it that way. And so, of course, the information is going to be skewed. Of course, it's going to present it as if, as, hey, these protesters are dangerous. They're, you know, SARS is actually keeping the peace, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But if you ask any Niger that has been in Nigeria and has interacted with SARS, they'll tell you what it is. We all know as Black people here in America what police brutality is. We know how we feel when a cop pulls up behind us or when we're walking. We know that's SARS. If there's a mentality that I think colonized African countries have taken on, it's this colonizer's mentality of law and order and militarizing in order to keep whatever agenda the powers that be need to be kept, right? I think that's just what it is. And I don't think that, I don't think media is exempt from that. I don't think journalism is exempt. I don't think any of it is exempt from that. And so in piecing together information, I have the privilege of having an organization that works in Nigeria, having girls in Nigeria that are protesting and then active and then are working on the ground, having really close friends in Nigeria who happen to be activists and community organizers, having family. And so because I'm just in touch with them and with what's happening there. When things like this happen, I sort of have to know because I have to know how to support my girls.
Exactly.
And these are my people. These are my people. And when I think of Black liberation, okay, let's take SARS and remove it from Nigeria. If SARS was in Ghana or in Senegal or in Haiti, to me, it would be the same fight because it's still a fight for Black liberation and for the right for people, Black people and people from all walks of life all over the world to live peacefully and with equal rights. That's just what this is. So to me, it almost falls under that same umbrella.
And it feels crazy to know that these are, like, we know what we deal with here in the States, but to see that our people have to deal with that at home from our own people is wild. When I was looking, I was reading an article about a whole warehouse or something that they had that the police kept all of this COVID supplies and it was supposed to be donated to the people and they hoarded all this COVID supplies for all these months just for the sake of not giving it to the people, just for wicked and evil.
Or to sell it there's just
for their own benefit.
It's amazing how, I mean, this runs so deep. And I think as people of the diaspora, we really have to get to the point where we start asking ourselves the real questions. How have we internalized the ways of our colonizers? How are we playing them out in our lives? How are we subjecting our people to them? Because it's one thing, yes, police brutality and racism is one thing, but when it's coming from your own people, what does that mean? That means that you have internalized your master's way of being, and you are now playing that out against your own people. When do we stop that? At what point?
I think you raise an awesome point as we think about this issue through the lens of imperialism and supremacy as a system, right? So what has been most interesting in, you know, just my research and trying to just gain some understanding of what's going on in Nigeria, it's really been fascinating to think about the way that these things link, right? So I'm thinking about these things as a function of imperialism. And we think about the imperialism that has happened, you know, centuries ago that is still playing itself out today, and it's a really a global issue, right? And so I'm thinking about it with respect to, you know, the executive order that President Trump put out a couple of months ago that was kind of trying to undo or dismantle any talk of anti-racism as a tool of, like, you know, this being anti-American or anti-patriarchy. I mean, anti-patriotism, sorry. But I guess patriarchy too kind of falls but under that umbrella. But it's just, I'm thinking about, like you're saying, like, you know, this is bigger and larger than American and America and American history, but this is really a global concern. Mm-hmm. And we think about how policing in and of itself has roots in controlling Black and brown bodies. That's what it was designed to do.
Yes.
With this concept of law and order didn't exist until they started until Black people tried to start to get free. And so I am, I'm just like extra conscious, and I'm glad that we're talking about this issue through that lens, because I don't know that, many people, self included for a long time, I don't know that many people are making the connection to what this is connection. Like in practice, making those historical connections to what's going on right now. And I want to go back to something that you said a little bit earlier about, thinking about these things, as these kind of tools of white supremacy and oppression, and how these different narratives play themselves out. And we talk about the media as a tool, as a vehicle for kind of carrying this messaging. And I was wondering, since you said like fake news travels much quicker and a lot of times more efficiently than the truth, are you aware of any lies or thing, like, you know, what are ways that the story is being skewed, that you have seen? Like, what are some things that we might be able to miss or misconceptions that we might be able to debunk for people who listen to our show? Because I'm really intentional about getting grown, being a place where the truth is told, right? We don't want to get caught up in these problematic narratives. But from your ears and from the mouths of the people who are on the ground, what are some things that we don't know, or some lies that we have been told about what's going on over there in Nigeria?
Yeah, wow, that's a good one. Gosh, I wish I would have prepared this before I got on like this call, but because I don't remember what publication it was, but there was a story going around out of Nigeria that there were no deaths in the protests.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's interesting, because me and everyone I know several people that were killed, that were harmed, that's one. The other one was that the government officials had nothing to do with the massacres, but who gave the order? It's just like things like that, or that protesters, another one is that protesters are like defacing property, which, let's put a pin in that. Because when the protests and riots started with George Floyd, that was a big thing, right? It's about demonizing these protesters for rioting and looting, right? Absolutely. I feel like if you can brutalize me and have no consequences, and I feel like I need to take that out through rioting and looting to get your attention, so be it. But that's not even what was happening in Nigeria. So that's the wild thing, is that was, these rioters, that's like no one, it was a peaceful protest, actually. People were holding hands, singing the national anthem, and a massacre. So it's like those little things like that. And I can get back to you on more, because they're escaping me right now. But just it's sort of blatant, the lies. Like, why do you need to say there were no deaths? Like, what? Why?
Why lie?
Why lie?
When you all were talking about the connection and why this is and how this is a global issue and why we need to be concerned about what's going on and, you know, with each other in different parts of the world, I noticed even with that colonialism and with that mindset that has seeped into a lot of us as a people, it's also seeped into a division.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Oof. Look at all of the awful things we used to say even to each other as kids, you know what I'm saying? Or even I've had some Nigerian friends where their parents have instilled in them Black American children and families are lazy and we're shiftless. Mm-hmm. And then we've had this stereotype that, you know, that
I hate saying Africans because that's so broad, but you know what I'm saying? It's been a division. It's been
a
division.
I mean, I got called African booty scratcher growing up.
All those things, right. It's been a division that's been seeped in through, this all comes from colonizing. All of this, the colonizing mindset. And we have to, just like the young people are getting fed up in all parts of the world, and they're trying to change these narratives and these old systems, we have to do the same with being concerned with our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world. Whether it be what's going on in the States or what's going on in Nigeria, we need to be concerned with each other because we're not dealing with this alone. We're dealing 100% with corrupt government and corrupt mentalities all over the place.
Yeah, it's a systematic imperial. It's the mentality and what's behind these systems is so deep that it takes the diaspora saying, we're not accepting this for Nigeria. It takes the entire diaspora saying no for Nigeria, not just Nigeria, right? Because at the end of the day, what affects them affects us. What affects me affects us. We are all connected. We just are. There's no way around it. And I was watching a documentary. I don't remember the name of it. It was the Russell Simmons documentary. And one of the participants brought up something really, really important. She said something about how this disconnect, this separation between us as Black people, we know that this was by design. But she mentioned how when I don't remember where this is, where they were keeping slaves in some place that I don't remember where, she mentioned that they would bring the women out. Mm-hmm. This is graphic, obviously, and just select women to rape, to impregnate, so they could breed more slaves to take on slave ships back into the Middle Passage. And so what would happen is the men that tried to defend the women were taken to a room and tortured and killed. And this would happen repeatedly. What does that say? What does that do? That is instilling a character trait. You watch your women and people get beaten down. You do not defend them. You do not fight them. This is right. This is how it is. That was at the beginning of colonization. We're here in 2020. You think we forgot that? Do you think that just went away because we got some rights? No, we have to dig a lot deeper and see how we've internalized that, passed it down, how it plays out in the smallest ways. And like, one of the ways is feeling like we're separate from people because they're on the continent and we're here. We're not. Sorry. We're separated by distance. That's it.
It boils down to anti-Blackness, like across the board, like on a global scale.
Yes.
And I think I don't know that we talk about enough, like how deeply steeped these things are. Because you're saying, like, you just say, like, just because we got some rights, but like even those rights are in theory and not in practice. And so we have to, I think my challenge is, especially with, you know, specific to uprisings and you know, our this generation and the younger generation's response to what's going on in the world, this resistance and activism, it's easy for folks to feel powerless or unsure of how to contribute or lend their voices, their talent, their skills, their ideas to you know, furthering and promoting these efforts. And so, as we've talked about here with respect to what's going on in this country, I have often felt like I don't really know where to start if I want to support and, you know, be an ally and help to raise awareness about what's going on in SARS and do something about in Nigeria with SARS and actually do something about it. I don't really know where to start. So do you have any insight for anyone who might be like me, who is, you know, just learning and getting educated about what's happening there in Nigeria and wants to help, but not really sure how to go about it?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. That's another one of those sticky ones, because I believe at the beginning of all of this, there were lots of donations that were being sent, and organizations were receiving donations, and that was fine. And then what I really appreciate is that a few of them are like, okay, we're no longer accepting donations because that's not really what we need. Mm-hmm. I think we have a tendency to throw money at problems when it's like, this is a systematic problem. What we need is strategy, organization, things like that. And so, as I mentioned earlier, All of these organizers are starting to try and come together to figure out what exactly needs to happen. What exactly are we asking for? What do we need? So I think right now the first step is awareness. So a big thing happened last week. One of the government officials in Nigeria tried to flee to a country where he keeps his money and wanted to get away from what's happening in Nigeria right now. And that country, because of the awareness that people have put on SARS, sent him back to Nigeria and said, deal with your people. That sounds like a small thing. That is a huge deal. And that happened because people were sharing the hashtag and people were saying, wait a second, you can't just kill Nigerian youth like this. And so people that feel helpless, I get that. I often feel helpless too. Oh my gosh. But I think we forget how, Jay, you mentioned this at the beginning of the conversation, how we know about this because of the hashtag. That's the world that we live in right now. That's the power of social media. That's the power that we have, you know, being connected in the way that we are via these platforms. So I think that's the first step is look through the hashtag. I know that's daunting. See what resonates with you. I'll give y'all some resources of people that I trust. Like I mentioned, Feminist.
And we'll have all of that in the description box for you all.
Yeah. And just stay in touch with them. So a friend of mine who's a creative in Nigeria, his name is Daniel Abassi. He's amazing. We talk all the time. He's like, it's just nice to know that someone there is interested in what's happening here. And so I think that folks don't realize how far that goes. Just follow those people. You don't even have to follow. Just stay connected. Hey, do you need anything? Hey, what's happening? Stay in connected. Stay connected with them. So we want to create the habit and the tendency to shift away from us being over here and over there. We want to make it, we want to create the pattern and the, what am I trying to say? The habit of being engaged
like
with one another.
Bridges. Make these connections.
Yeah. So I don't think there's an easy answer. It's not like, oh, go to this person. You're going to know. I think that now is the time for us across the diaspora to start little by little, just building relationships with people across the diaspora, following them, seeing, you know, if they, one person knows what's going on in their town, they probably are connected with five other people that you might learn some information from. So it's just, honestly,
it's fairly
that's
new,
the way.
So it's,
yes. It's a new, difficult. It's a new-ish movement, so it's hard to pin down exactly where to go. And I think that's coming very soon. And I will try my best to be a resource as things gel and things come together. I'll be more articulate about it because I'll have more of a grasp on what's happening. But I think that's my suggestion now is just becoming as aware as possible and trying to find folks on the ground that need the support. And sometimes it's even they just need the support. Like even some of my friends, I just send a message to. You know, I think just starting to build that bridge is super important.
Does
I answer your question, Kia? Sorry, I know that wasn't like super tangible.
No, you've been lovely. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about your organization and some of the things that you all, what you all are about and some of the things that you all have done and what you're working towards? Because I think it would be beautiful to close out with that. And let me tell y'all, Mary B. Oh, and I think we have a little special treat at the end.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Ooh, I can't wait. Okay. All right. So please go ahead.
So my organization, that's my baby, is called Niger Girl Tribe. And Niger Girl Tribe is an organization that focuses on empowering Nigerian girls. And what that means is we want to guide them and hold space for them as they walk through their life, as they go from whatever stage they are in maybe elementary, junior high, middle school into womanhood. And that's through personal development, it's career development, it's mentor matching. A lot of what we're doing right now, though, it's been interesting. We host our workshops in person, group counseling, and then one-on-one sessions with our girls. But since the pandemic hit, we haven't been able to go, you know, in person to Nigeria. So we've been hosting our meetups virtually. Mm-hmm. And with that shift, what has happened is we've become more of a support for them in their activism. With the End SARS protests, with the protests that happened, the protests that started earlier in the pandemic around gender-based violence against women. So it's been a really interesting shift to this organization. It's very, I think it's a holistic empowerment of Nigerian girls. It's helping them to understand what it is that they might want to discover in life and helping them just understand that they can do it and giving them hopefully some tools and maybe finding them a mentor that can help, you know, just support them through that process. So one of the things that we're working on for hopefully 2022 is building our first resource center. And the resource center will, that's where girls can come in for. It's just a safe space for courses, workshops, mentor matching. We'll have like a computer station. And we want to also have partner with women creatives who can come and sort of teach classes with for the girls as well. But one of our girls, she's incredible. She wrote a piece. So part of what has been really inspiring for me during this time, this pandemic, there are two major things that have happened in Nigeria in the past few months. One was a series of protests that I have never seen in my life before. Women in Nigeria protesting body autonomy and the right to their safety and their physical safety. It was remarkable to see these young girls fighting for their rights, and now with SARS. So one of the things we encourage our girls to do is just let things out, create, find some sort of outlet to express what it is that you're feeling so that it's not stuck in there. And whatever outlet that is, that's fine. It could be dance, it could be singing, and we kind of support them through that. So one of our girls wrote this beautiful poem that I want to share. She means so much to me.
And Mary would not read it to me before the show, so we are all going to hear it together.
Yes.
And I'm so excited. We got consent and everything.
Yes, she obviously gave her consent for me to read this. And I'm eternally just blessed to be in a position to support young girls. It's just so inspiring to see how brilliant they are and how far ahead they are than any of us were at their age. You're like, yes, come through. I'm just proud of her. So this is a poem by Yamanda. It's called When Nigeria Bled. How could you let the motherland bleed? Why do you sleep with a stone cold heart? Within a twinkle of an eye, the streets were filled with the screams and mourns of the shattered. We put our weaknesses to sleep and awoke our bravery. We silenced the voices that said they cannot be that strong. We built a wall of unity that roared, you cannot break me. The glory of our native land we were ready to fight for. How invalid you made our tears and groans. How unjust and cruel your actions. But I hope you never forget that there is a supreme king on the throne who despises barbaric intentions. Unto this king are our battles taken. This is where the wicked start to lose rest. And one by one, your schemes become unhidden. By the king's power, our victory is birthed.
Amazing.
How old is she?
She is 15, mm-hmm. y'all. 15.
What a talent.
15.
Child. Oh, my God.
You know.
Please tell her we said thank you so much for allowing you to read that on the show. We really, really appreciate it.
What's her name? I'm going to send this to her. Yawanda, you are Yawanda. Beautiful.
Thank you, Yawanda, for sharing.
Yawanda. Absolutely. Yes. And if Yawanda is okay with it, we'd love to share on the Getting Grown Instagram as well.
Yes, I'm sure she'll be fine with that. Please do.
Beautiful, beautiful. Please do. Mary, we appreciate you so, so, so much for coming on. And we know this, the movement itself the problem is not new, but the movement, like you said, is newish. And while people are trying to organize and get things together, we really appreciate you coming and being a resource to help us to kind of educate ourselves and start knowing where we need to look in order to, you know, build those bridges, like you said, across the diaspora so that we can all be concerned with what's going on with each other. And hopefully end corruption on a global scale. But that is a grand dream. But we're clearly seeing beautiful steps towards that. And we really appreciate you coming on.
Of course. I'm here for this collective line in the sand, y'all. I'm here for it. And whatever I can do to just push this forward, to push this Black liberation forward, I'm here for it. So I'm here to be a resource for you as well. And I'll continue to just keep you posted as I learn more.
And we will keep you all posted. We'll have all of Mary's information in the description box. All of the links that she sends, as well as hopefully Yawanda's poem on our Getting Grown Instagram account. We love you so much, Maddie Akpa.
Thank you for having me. It's been such a blast.
Absolutely. Great to meet you.
It has.
Me too.
We're going to wrap this segment up and we're going to get on to our
for sure.
Honesty Box.
If you're struggling to pay off high interest credit card debt, you need to take action. Help fight off high interest credit card debt with Upstart, the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your job history in the form of a smarter rate. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000 so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart is completely online and makes it fast and simple to check your rate. If the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt with Upstart. See why Upstart has over 6,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/grown to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/grown. Your loan amount will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount.
Honestly? Truly.
Oh, hello. It's time for the honesty box. Sis, you want to give our listener, identified as she and her, a pseudonym?
Sure. Let's call her Keontae.
Keontae. Like a delicious wine.
Yes.
Chianti is the wine. Chianti is what you niggas would name your child after that delicious wine. Hey, sisters. Thank you for your platform and the work that you do. This podcast is amazing and affirming. Thank you, Chianti. I've been struggling to write in about this and wanted to see if this could be a part two to the secrets discussion. Okay. I'm mainly interested in secrets and romantic close friend relationships. And here's the backstory. I have a friend who's having an affair. I've been friends with this person for years. I've been dating someone for 2 years, and this relationship is growing. My friend having the affair disclosed this to me around the time I started dating. She sees me as the vault because I have a no judgment, mind your business attitude when it comes to how people choose to navigate their life. Amen. I've been honest about my disagreement with her choice, but ultimately it's her issue and cross to bear. Recently, my partner has noticed that when I have conversations with this friend, I tend to leave the room or talk very coded. He has voiced his suspicions that I'm keeping something from him and has assured that I can speak to him about anything. He had first had suspicions that I was hiding things from him about us, but I believe through conversation he doesn't feel that way anymore. I've told him that my friend has shared private things with me and I want to honor her confidence. This has brought up conversations about secrets and how this should be handled in our relationship. I've said that generally speaking, I don't think we should keep secrets from each other as it pertains to our relationship and how we're growing together, but I also have added that we both have people in our lives who confide things to us that have nothing to do with our relationship, and we should be trusted to keep that confidence. His position is that we shouldn't have secrets outside of what we have to legally keep secrets about because of our jobs. We both work in fields that deal with confidential information. I should add that he also voiced that he thinks my friend is having an affair, and I've not confirmed or denied it because I don't think it's my place to do so. He knows this friend now through me. He shared things with me about his friends that have been shared with him in confidence, mostly to debrief and process. He doesn't think it's a big deal because it's me and he knows I won't say anything. I've told him that he doesn't have to share private convos from his friends if he doesn't want to, but he is truthfully more radically open with me than I am with him. So given this scenario, what are your thoughts around secrets in relationships? Should I spill the beans about my friend's infidelity? Do we owe our friends confidence that we won't share their private info? How does keeping the confidence of close friends compare to what is shared with an intimate partner? And how have you all handled the clash of these secrets versus confidence keeping? I am a stay single till the right one comes along late bloomer. So this is a first real relationship for me and I'm older. And I think I should have some answers, but I'm stuck. I wonder if this can be unpacked at the kitchen table because I'm torn on just sharing with my partner versus keeping my friend's secret. Or do I just throw in my whole philosophy around keeping secrets and be more open to transparency in all things? Thank you, Keontae.
Man, I don't know. Ooh. I think, whew. I don't know because I have been. I think it depends on your partner. Your relationship, how much you trust that person, if you trust that person, because I don't know. I have been in a situation where I have chosen not to disclose some things with my partner. And mm-hmm. then I've had partners where, you know, that person happened to be my unpacking and process partner, right? So that person, I would share with him. And he would help me think through things and offer, like, you know, objective perspective around, like, mm-hmm. you know, how to handle certain things, how to respond about certain things, how to feel certain things. And just kind of like us talking about these things were very much, you know, a part of our connection between he and I. And there was never, he never betrayed my trust. So I never mm-hmm. felt like it was, yeah. So I don't know. I feel like it depends. I could see how, I don't know. I feel like I could see how, I think if it were me, I would, if I wanted to, because I can't tell what you want to do. I can't tell if you feel like you should open up to your man about this, or you want to, but you worried about betraying your friend. I don't know. I think to if me, it were me, oh, go ahead, sis.
I just answering what you, it sounds to me, and I could be totally wrong, and please feel free to write into us, Keontae. It sounds like she wants to keep her, like, she's like,
she wants to keep her friend secret.
Yeah, but she low key feels obligated because this nigga overshares it. She's like, well, you know, I don't want to lose out on this because it's a good thing.
Well, yeah. And I think in that case, and I don't know if I was mishearing or I don't know if you picked up on this, but did you get the impression that he was starting to doubt, like, Keontae's man is starting to doubt her because he doesn't share?
So what she said was, he initially thought maybe it was her keeping secrets, but she said as time has gone on, she can see where he knows it's not her, but he knows she's keeping a secret for her friend. So it's not causing issues between them as far as, I think you're keeping a secret from me about you. But you can tell me what's going on with your homegirl, like, it's no big deal. And this is where I will say, if you really don't want to tell him, you don't have to. Yeah. You, boundaries and relationships are a thing and they're important. And, you know, if you, this is totally up to you. You know what I'm saying? My friends confide things in me that I don't share with my husband. And then if it's something where it's like, this is something I don't want to the outside world, but you know, this is what's happening, then I might let him know a little something that's going on. Like, I'm not going to keep him all the way in the dark, like,
it depends.
Yeah, it depends on what it is. But somebody who's really sharing something in real confidence, like, please don't share this with anybody, I don't tell him. And that's a boundary that we have. And he don't press me either to tell him because he understands that's a boundary that we have.
And I'm sure that there are things that he doesn't tell you concerning absolutely. His personal relationships with
especially
his
by
friends.
His raggedy ass friends. Absolutely not. Let me stop. I'm just playing.
So yeah, I'm just saying, like, I think it depends, but I think you should definitely do what you feel led to do because you know both of these people and you know this situation better than we could. And I don't know. I feel like mm-hmm. I've not been helpful at all because I do feel like you sound like you know what you want to do, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or you know what you should do, or what you're feeling. You feel like you need to keep this secret, because that's the kind of person that you are. I do feel like, though, she did say in the beginning, though, that she's expressed to her friend that she's not excited about, mm-hmm. you know, the fact that she's in an affair. And I do feel like if you, it's fair for you to say, I don't think it makes you a bad friend. If you know, say, it's not like, I think we've talked about this before. Like, you know, it's, you don't want to abandon your friend, but mm-hmm. it's okay for you to say, I don't really, you know, I don't really endorse or support what you're doing, and mm-hmm. I'm always going to be here for you, but you know, maybe we don't talk about this anymore, like, yep. because it's starting to make me, you know, feel some sort of conflict in my life, And, you know, I don't want to be pulled in these different directions because I love you and I will not stop loving you. But this mm-hmm. is just not something that I feel like I want to be a part of. Mm-hmm. And I think that's okay too. If that's how you feel, I'm not saying that that's how you feel, but just offering that, like, if this is a play, if this, maybe this could mean that this is something that you, you know, don't want to engage your friend around anymore. And I don't think that makes you a bad person. Like, you know, if you're having an affair and that's your business and I don't want to tell you what to do, but maybe I feel like, cause I know when people tell you their business, you become a party to it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, like, I don't necessarily know how long I'm going to ride with you in this because this is not something that I fundamentally agree with.
Child.
And I've been there as well. Like, girl, we're not going to talk about this no more. I love you so much. But I can't be quiet. Yeah, I can't sit quietly as you sleep with somebody else's husband. That's going to be a problem for me going forward. I know in the beginning I was going mind my business, but we've just reached a place where I'm now feeling conflict around your secret and I don't want to be stressed out about business that's not even mine.
Yeah, I that's another conversation because yes.
I'm sorry. I feel like
No. I think that's a necessary
I've segue been there. I'm telling you what I know from experience
to a yes. future conversation for sure.
I have been there, and I think that is a place, right? It's a hard place to be. But when other people's business and secrets and lies start to infringe upon your life, perhaps it's a sign that you should dissociate yourself from that activity, not necessarily that person, that relationship entirely, depending upon how that conversation goes. But mm-hmm. for me, it's like, you know, if this is causing static with you and your man, even if it's not real static, but if it's raising a question, if it becomes a conversation and you feeling this way about it, it may mean that perhaps you need to go back to the source of what the confusion might be. And ask some hard questions about whether or not this is something you're willing to continue to do.
Absolutely. Keep us updated, Keontae. Please let us know. You know, let us know what you decide to do. And know that it's okay.
Whatever you want to do. Like, whatever you decide, it's your business.
It is your business to decide. But I know that because I sensed just a teeny Joan in the end of that where you were like, you know, this is my first reel, so I'm still trying to figure out how to navigate. Please know that from jump, it's important to set boundaries in relationships. And it's mm-hmm. okay for you to have those boundaries.
For sure.
And if a person puts any pressure on you to step over those boundaries, it is your job to hold them in place, which is going to set things up for you in the future. But if you let somebody step all over them, then that's just going to create bigger problems for you going forward. And I just want to share that element. But please continue to send your honesty box questions to gettinggrownpodcast@gmail.com. And let's move into this Black person self-care.
Okay.
I deserve.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, in the world of Black woman self-care, I did a thing this weekend.
What you do?
I don't know if you guys know or if you're aware whatever part of the island of Zamunda you are occupying out there in the world. But I mean, the season autumn shook out her coat and graced us with her appearance here in the DMV this weekend. And so I said unto myself that I wanted a meal that reflected the season. I wanted some warm goody, some mm-hmm. warm, good tasting food. And I decided that I was going to make myself a delicious pot of chili.
Ooh.
I was very excited. Mm-hmm. I found a recipe online. My friend Dez, she has a little cooking show that she does on Instagram. She follows recipes. She made a chili here a week or so ago that looked really good and really mm-hmm. easy. And so I just asked her to send me the recipe. And I hopped on the Instacart and purchased my ingredients. And then I went on downstairs and clanked some pots together. And I made me a good old bowl of chili. It was really good. I know really it was good too,
because Kia can burn, y'all.
It was really good. It had like two kinds of beans in it.
Yes.
I put some chipotle peppers in it.
Ooh, yes. Give it me juice.
Really
good.
It was really,
did
it was
top
kind
it
of
with
like.
Anything?
I put a little cheddar cheese and a dollop of sour cream.
Oh, my girl.
You know. And you know that it was kind of like your grandma's chili, but just like, you know, the gentrified version,
which is okay sometimes.
And I was, what is okay sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I got, it has cumin and chili powder, and oregano. Yes. And I mean, the recipe called for ground turkey, but I just went ahead and got myself some lean beef,
which is just fine.
And, you know, it was good. And I had some leftovers. It was just like a good bowl of like, I needed this. I wanted it. I decided that I was going to cook it, and I did. And it was just a choice. It was a choice. I feel like it's chili season.
It is chili season. It's cold so I and just, it's wet.
Yes. And it's like very warm. It's hearty. And it took about an hour to make. It was very easy. Very easy. Took me longer to chop up my peppers and onions and things.
Oh, that's usually the length. What you combine.
Really, chopping it up. And it's really just putting everything in the pot and walking away, child.
And I know the next day it was even better.
Oh, my girl, it got good and thick, honey. It was good. And I still have some more. I will be continuing to dine throughout
you
the week.
You have inspired me. I'm going to make a short rib chili for Patreon. Ooh, that's what I'm going to do. Yes,
that
baby.
Sounds very bougie.
I'm going to gentrify the shit out of that and make a short rib chili. Oh, sis, you are right. I did very much enjoy that. I asked Key if she had a black woman self-care. And she said, one you will enjoy. I was going to ask her if she rolled a blunt.
Oh, no.
But my black woman self-care this week, I was very sleepy on Friday. I was very, very sleepy, but we had plans to take Antoinette, shout out to Around the Way Curls.
Yeah.
To take Antoinette to a drive-in as a post-belated birthday little thing in COVID.
For sure.
So just our friend Angie and myself and Antoinette, I got a bunch of banchan chicken and fries, and I got two packs of ciders. Antoinette went and bought out the snacks section at C-Town, and we went to the drive-in and watched Beetlejuice and sat outside the car.
I have not yet had an enjoyable banchan chicken experience.
Really?
Yes. I had I don't even know if it's still there, but there was a place in, that was close to University of Maryland. Mm-hmm. And I went, because I used to get my nails done over there. And I went in there one time and the chicken was cold.
Oh,
and
no.
Uninspiring.
At banchan?
Yes, so I've never been back, but I
sis, you had a bad experience.
I did.
You did.
And I really wish that I could undo that damage, but
well, when I come to Maryland and we have our quarantine, we're gonna get some banchan chicken, and I'm gonna show you how it is so delicious and hot and crispy. Oh, but can't
it's
spicy anymore, right?
Huh?
You can't spicy anymore, can you?
What you mean?
I thought you couldn't spicy anymore. XD said you having trouble with the spice.
XD said that?
He did. He said y'all both of y'all have a problem with Popeye's spicy chicken now. You can't eat the spicy.
Oh, I've always just preferred, I like the flavor of mild.
Oh,
I'm just
got
not
you.
Really
okay.
I'm not a spicy, like I'm not a hot and spicy kind of girl.
Ooh, maybe you not like Korean fried chicken.
I mean, is it hot?
It's spicy. It's got a little spice too. It's got a little kick.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
delicious.
The spice the issue that I had with them was not like spice heat. It was temperature heat. The chicken was cold and uninspiring.
No, you can't have no cold Korean fried chicken. That is really disappointing. If there's any representatives from Banchan Chicken out there who would like to send Kia a piping hot plate of your Korean fried wings mixed with the soy garlic, please do it properly so my sis can have an experience she's supposed to. And if she doesn't, I will be bringing myself to Maryland to make you some homemade Korean fried chicken wings. And that's just what we're going to have to do. Santana also makes a very delicious Korean fried chicken wing.
There was a place in White Plains that wasn't far from my grandfather's church, and they used to do the Korean barbecue, like rib tips.
Yes.
So good. And I miss it. And I feel like since that place is closed down, it's probably the last rib tip I've had. And I just miss it. It was so good. Oh, my God.
I miss
the
Chicago
amazing.
Rib tip. Oh, damn you, COVID. I wanted to go to Chicago this year and get me some proper rib tips. What I'm sad. Time. I'm sad. But that's our Black person self-care. Send your Black people self-cares to gettinggrownpodcast@gmail.com because we're going to do a whole self-care episode. And we want to know what everybody is doing because we want to be in your business. Correct. And with that being said, we're going to round this right on out with the petty pee.
And I want to be very responsible of the things I say to my sister because everybody know I can be real petty. P-E to the T-T-Y, honey.
All right. So I was having a conversation with my good sis today, and she is a makeup artist and a very popular, very well-known, very talented makeup artist. And she and I were conversing in the DMs today because we were both just kind of, you know, venting around the audacity of strangers, especially on social media. And so she posted a picture of her work and there was, she did the makeup and I guess the person commented about the hair, like the model's hair.
Okay.
Something about her wig. Now I'm not a wiggy girl, so I don't really know the specs about wig application, wig maintenance.
Yeah, no.
These kinds of things. But I'm guessing that there was some sort of issue with her lace or the front of her wig or blah 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 blah. And so the girl was posting the model's picture just to feature her work, and the makeup was beautiful. But this wig issue had been a source of a lot of commentary. And so this person commented on, like, she posted, as the makeup artist, she posted the picture because of the makeup. And someone commented with respect to the wig. And she was just like, to the effect of, like, I hate that she posted this. I hate that this wig looked like that. And the girl was just like, okay. She said, I don't like this wig. And my friend was like, okay.
Okay,
right, that's fine. And she was just like, and she went on and wrote paragraphs upon paragraphs about why she felt like, you know, essentially questioning my friend for posting this picture. Like, and accusing her of being shady for posting a picture of this wig looking like this. And my friend challenged her. She was like, I had a little time today. So I was just like, why do you care? Like, I see things on the internet that I don't like all of the time. Like, I see things in real life, like in my everyday life, people wearing things, people saying and doing things that I wouldn't say or do or wear. And I feel those feelings and I have those thoughts, but I keep my mouth closed because I don't, like, you know, I have my own business to attend to. And so if you do have an opinion about this wig, that's your business. But why you got to tell me? Like, keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
And like, what did you think? Like, did you really think that I was going to sit up in these DMs and talk trash with you about this picture, about this person, about my work? And what would prompt you as a stranger to feel like your thoughts and opinions
matter,
have any meaning or significance to me?
Yeah.
And what makes you feel like I posted this to get your green light? So, I mean, I just feel like I think there are, it's just interesting, right? Because I think in this age of social media, we have gotten to a place where we just kind of like spew our opinions all over everything and everybody. And I've had to check myself. Like, there was a friend of mine, someone I really care about, posted a picture of herself in some color contacts, And so,
ooh,
right. So, which is her business, right? Which is her choice.
Yeah.
But immediate, me being me, you know, I saw the color context and immediately was just like, wow, this is unsettling, right? And I said that to her in the response. And she responded back and was just like, okay. And then I had to check myself. Like, she didn't ask me for my opinion. She didn't ask me how I felt about her. This is her choice. This is her business. This is something she wanted to do. And I went back and I said, you know what? That was my response. I should have kept that to myself. My opinion does not matter. You have every right to make whatever choice you want to make. I think you look amazing no matter what choice you make, like blah, blah, blah. And I said, forgive me for, you know, I totally, like, my opinion in that moment was unwarranted. It was word unsolicited. It was just kind of like a reaction that flew out of my mouth and I should not have said it. Right. And I caught myself, and she didn't ask for an apology, but I gave her one because I recognized that it was my opinion, and my opinion in that moment doesn't matter. Like, she's grown and she can do what she want to do. It's her picture. It's her face. It's her. Then I'm like, you know, if she thinks that she looks amazing, get your life. And I mean, it's not my place. You know what I'm saying? I think she's a stunning girl. I was just surprised. Right. You know what I'm saying? So it was a thing, but you know, everybody can do what they want to do. So I guess my petty peeve is for unsolicited opinions. And like, you know, like, I mean, the girl went back and forth with her. She sent me about 4 or 5 screenshots of this girl going back with her. And she was like, you know, you always want people have the right to not like what you post. And I'm like, that's so true. But I mean, what you want me to do? Engage with you about it? Like, you want me to agree with you? You say you didn't like it, and I said okay. And then you had a problem with you felt like I was being dry. Like, what makes you feel like you are entitled to a discussion with me about your opinion? Mm. And you know, it's just interesting, right? Because I think the internet has given us all a platform to kind of say what we think whenever we want to. But as adults, we need to acknowledge that we don't have the right to say what we think all the time.
No.
And there are times when what we think does not matter. And there are times when what we think is just that, what we think. So
right.
So I don't know. My petty peeve is for all, even myself, I guess, unsolicited opinions, even when I give them out. Right. It's like, girl, nobody asked you. Everybody got a right to say and do what they want to do. Have your opinions. And I'm just like, you know, why spew your opinions on defenseless strangers? Mm-hmm. Your group chat is the place where your opinions are welcome. Okay. Like, if you feel a way about something that I wore, like, you know what I'm saying? Or it's something true that I did, or, you know, tell your best friend, tell your sister, tell your mama. Y'all can sit around and talk about me all night if that's what you want to do, but you don't got to come and tell me, because it doesn't really change anything about what I'm doing.
So much to you, like,
absolutely,
why do you...
that also as well, because... but if you just got to tell somebody else.
Tell somebody else. Don't tell the person who literally didn't ask you.
And right, because nobody
this doesn't
asked
pertain
you
to art, because I watched Bad Hair and I definitely gave my opinion.
Oh, but... I see. I didn't know. Okay, so I was the only idiot that didn't know that was a scary movie. Or was it supposed to be scary? Because people keep talking about it like as a horror film. And I'm just like,
it was supposed to be like a dark comedy horror, cult horror type of, you know, when they have movies like that. And so we have, you know, we have this genre of black horror coming out, and thrillers and psychological thrillers and things like that, which I think is a beautiful movement to me personally. It wasn't scary to me at all. Even Crystal Jean wasn't scared, so that tells you right there.
Well, yeah, if Crystal Jean can handle it, I probably can too.
I think you can, but I just don't know if you want to. But that's, you know, you go do
that's
what
fair
you like.
Listen, everyone has a right. That's what I'm saying.
And there were a lot of people who enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Get your lives.
Yeah. People are like, I'm into the campy horror film. So if that's your thing, cool. It's not mine, so I said it. So
it's just,
but when
a thing
it comes to
it's
other
just
people's business specifically,
their choices about themselves, right? Yeah.
Why do you care?
Why do you care so much about this person who you've never met and you feel so upset about her wig that you would talk to someone who didn't even make it? Like, she was like, I didn't even make this wig. I'm just posting the makeup because I thought I did a nice job. I don't know anything about this wig, girl. Like, why are you in my DMs?
But also, just comment on the makeup. Find something positive. Unless it's those ugly rubber slides that the kids are wearing these days. Those I understand being viscerally angry about.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
They look like dinosaur eggs. I hate them. They're so ugly. They just look like little gel slippers. They're these fat rubber weird
looking. I think I saw you post something about these things.
I hate those shoes.
And how they just upset you so.
And if somebody asks me, well, why do you care? Because I hate them so. because I do. Because I just literally hate looking at them. That's just that.
Listen.
Oh, man. My petty peeve this week, very light, very easy. I just get really irritated with people who don't read signs, read notices, read instructions, you know. Before they decide to call me and make my life, my delivery people keep calling. It's usually the lazy ones I notice. It's the ones who don't want to get out their car. Well, how do you buzz me in the building? I put explicit instructions on every single platform that I use, on every app, everything. It tells you exactly how to dial me, what it does when you dial me, and what I will do once you dial me, and then where to go once I let you in after you dial me. So if you are asking me, that means you got irritated because you had to get up out your car and you don't want to read the instructions. And therefore, you have irritated my whole experience. So that's just it. It's just for people who don't read instructions. They don't read the push or the pull on the door. They don't read that you need to wear masks in common areas. They just don't damn read. So hello, Cookie.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Kia.
How are you?
Wait, what's her name?
You just said it, girl.
He said, what's her name?
Yeah, her name's Kia.
Girl.
You said it.
Hi, Tika.
You forgot?
It says Tika.
No, it says...
She was trying to read it.
She's trying to...
It says, bless it.
It says Tika.
It's just Kia. It's just Kia. You see the last four letters?
Yeah.
Kia, K-E-I-A. That's it, Kia.
Hello, follow viewers.
Okay, bye.
Follow viewers.
Well, follow viewers, that was another episode of Gay Girl.
She was like, she saw, I know, I told my mother that my name just startled the child.
She said,
was like, that is not, that's Kia, but who is this?
It doesn't, she said, who's Tika?
I know, it's overwhelming. It's too many letters. It's just too many. It's just too many. Period. Period.
Who's Tika?
Who is Tika? She said, that is not Kia. I know that girl.
She's like, wait, I know her. That's what she was like, Auntie Kia.
She was like, who's that? Tika. She's concerned.
She got a twin. She got a twin. She was
like, who is that? I was like, no one knows who I am.
She knows you very well. That's why she was just, because she's reading everything now, which
I love it.
Is great, but also you've got to watch what she is now reading.
For sure. You've got to.
You got to make sure that the things you have, or she'd be like, the coldest winter ever. What's that? I'm like, oh no, don't open it.
That's not a book for children.
But that is another episode of Getting Grown. Thank you all so much for coming to sit with us. Thank you to Mary for coming to sit with us at the kitchen table and just sharing what she's able to find out firsthand. It's beautiful to have that connection. So we are really, really grateful. Sis, would you like to add anything before we close out?
No, I want you all to remember to take care of yourself. Stay safe. Stay home. And stay out of each other's business. These are just the ways that we have to survive. Oh, I did see, I don't know if we talked about, well, it happened during the show, so I don't know if you saw, but it says that the Senate has confirmed Amy, what's her name?
Lord.
Amy Coney Barrett. She is our new Supreme Court Justice.
Oh, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you guys,
Wow, she looks like she's just chocked full of evil. Well, let us pray.
Indeed. Everyone, take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. Continue to drink your water. Stay hydrated in this season. Moisturize your skin because, I mean, who wants to add ash to the very long list of concerns that we that we are facing in this day and age? And as always, mind the business that pays you.
Yes, because your black will crack and end up looking like Amy Coney Barrett. If it's dry. Bye.
All that. Bye.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.